Three receivers right, one near side to the left. Bernard in the shotgun with Andy Dalton. He's clapping for the ball. He's got it on second and 10. Throws right, and it's picked off on a deflection. Buster Screen's got it at the 35-yard line. Jaquel Jackson tipped it, and Buster Screen picked it. Second and 10 and a half at the 19-and-a-half-yard line of Cincinnati. Takes the snap. Dalton back. Looking near side. Throws it. Picked off. And an open run. It's Joe Hayden. And he's in. Touchdown.
Oh, and A.J. Green is frustrated.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We are to the final position review of the 2013 Cleveland Browns for the offense and defense. Special teams still to come, but we're going to look at the cornerbacks today. Some nice highlights there by our awesome producer, Jason Gibbs, bringing us back there. Buster Screen, Joe Hayden. Those are the key guys we're going to look at. We're going to bring in the third member of our team, a Super Bowl champion defensive back in his own right, Jerod Cherry. What's up, Jerod?
Hey, what's up, Nate Dogg?
Not too much. So we're going to go through this. We're going to go through each player, give them a letter grade, and kind of talk about what we'd like their role to be going forward next year. And obviously, let's start right at the top in Joe Hayden. And I got to tell you, Joe Hayden, I thought, had a very good season, obviously rewarded by going to the Pro Bowl. Gave up just 5.6 yards per attempt against. He had 12 pass defenses. That put him in the top 12 at the position. One of the more highly regarded corners. Went against some of the best receivers in the NFL week after week after week. A.J. Green twice. Antonio Brown. He went against Calvin Johnson, Jordy Nelson. Now, I thought he started off a little bit quicker the first 6 weeks of the season. Didn't allow a single touchdown. No receiver over 50 yards against him. Struggled a little bit towards the end. Gave up a touchdown every week from week 12 to week 15. But all in all, a very solid season for Joe Hayden. He, I thought, excelled when he was in press coverage situations in the Ray Horton defense. I hope Mike Pettine keeps that going. And he did it with Stephon Gilmore in Buffalo, so I think he will. I'm going to give Joe Hayden an A. Obviously a pillar of this team, a superstar on this team, a leader of this team. And obviously we'll be back in his role locking people down next year.
Yeah, and that's a fair grade, because if you look at the first part of the season like you put out there, Nathan, you were thinking A-plus the way
yes,
he was playing.
He was the best
initially
in the league.
And then Richard Sherman stepped up and had something to say about that. But at this point, I would give him a solid A as well. I thought about A-minus, but I said, you know what, he's an A performer. I thought the ways in which he got beat was more so of things of trying to do too much or making the wrong decisions at the wrong time, not necessarily because he got outplayed or anything.
Pressing, yeah.
He was just doing too much and trying to do too much because the team was in that state and situation at the time. So, yes, I'm with you guys. Well, I'm with you at least, Nate. I don't know what Vic has to say, but I'm giving him an A as well.
It's going to be unanimous, A across the board. And I do think Joe Hayden was a better player through most of the first half of the season than he was in the second half. I think he got caught up a little bit in the overall defensive malaise. Mm-hmm. I do think that to some degree he was doing the thing that really is a cardinal sin that I'm sure you would say, which is try to do more than your job, and that's usually when you do get
right
in trouble. And there's no way you can cover up for problems in coverage that other people are having. You can only cover what you can cover. And teams did throw away from him, as they generally do. But toward the end of the year, had some plays, gave up a few more touchdowns than I thought he would when all was said and done.
Shorts.
But he's still an A player, a deserving Pro Bowler for his first trip to the Pro Bowl, and I think there were many more of those in his future.
Right, and yeah, people bring up the Cecil Shorts play like you just did there,
yep,
Nathan, and that's a prime example of trying to do too much.
Yep. As
he's saying in that situation, I need to make a play, and a guy, if you cover his probably what, 10 times, 9 times, Joe Hayden's going to win that battle.
Of course.
Cecil Shorts made the play happen when it needed to occur. But let me just say one more thing about Joe, is that the leadership component that which
absolutely
he took on for this team was also a huge part in his development and matriculation to a better cornerback.
Yeah, I think he is one of the most important players on this team, one of the best players on this team. And you look at these DBs on the Browns, all of them gave up a quarterback rating of over 90. According to Pro Football Focus, he was just at 74. And yards per cover snap, which I love to talk about, 0.89. The only two guys better, Darrell Revis and Richard Sherman. So that's pretty good company for Joe Hayden there. Buster Screen will be the next guy that we discuss here. And there was, I think, when you really dive in the numbers and go back and watch the games and watch it, such a mixed bag with Buster. Only gave up 5.56 yards per target, putting him in the top 15 among all DBs this year. That's great. But he gave up a lot of what I would call big plays, not in terms of yards, but in terms of touchdowns near the goal line. That's where I thought he struggled. Gave up 9 touchdowns this season, which is ironically amongst the leaders at the cornerback position. It was the most. But at the same time, he had 15 passes defensed, also the most. He did pretty well in the slot, but gave up the most touchdowns of any slot corner. Right. All in all, though, I'm going to give Buster Skrine a very solid B. I thought he made nice strides from last year to this year when he was picked on overall. I think if he can kind of tighten up in the red zone, tighten up on third down, he can be a very valuable slot corner for this team for a long time. Thought he improved, but there's still plenty of things that he needs to improve upon. Also, his tackling. He missed 20 tackles. That was the most of any cornerback who played as much as he did this season outside of Tremont Williams. So there are things to tighten up, but at the same time, Buster Skrine, I thought, made nice strides, so I give him a B.
Yeah, and Buster Skrine, in my opinion, grew leaps and bounds, and I would give him a B as well. Don't think he was an average corner this year. And considering how much he grew and the growth in his game, I was very impressed with that. Now, Nathan, I don't see him in the same light as just being a slot corner. I think he can maintain outside if he continues to gain confidence, because Buster had that I come from a small school syndrome, and I think he's finally getting over there. And once he realizes, hey, I have the speed and ability to be out here and fully believe that, I think he's going to be an even better player.
What's your letter grade on him?
B.
Okay. I'm going to differ from you guys, and I think I'm going to go along the lines of a C+. I thought he was I hear all the positives, and I think most of those, in my mind, come from seeing where he came from, he was, what he wasn't, and what he became, and they leaned on him heavily. I thought he made an amazing rebound from 2012. I think a lot was put on him to be the starter there, and I don't think this team really intended for Buster Skrine to end up having to play as much as he did. The hope was that Leon McFadden, I know we'll get to him, but as a draft pick, would be a lot more than he was, and we know he wasn't. And they didn't get what they hoped they would, perhaps transitionally from a Chris Owens, whatever he was supposed to be. So Buster was asked to do a lot of things, and I thought he mostly held up pretty well. The tackling was a problem for me too, and I think in this defense, especially in Mike Pettine's defense, And it's true in Ray Horton's scheme as well, I think you've got to be a better tackler, and I think too many plays ended up adding too many yards after catch because of the poor tackling by the secondary in general, and that's where I had a problem with Buster. I also had a problem with him in many cases where I just didn't think he was as disciplined as he needed to be in coverage. So it's a C+ for me, but I could see why you guys gave him a B.
Yeah, I think you're right. If you were to just break down some of the numbers, you would probably be where you are. I think, to me, I was looking at the progress he made and what he can do. But I understand. I understand what you're saying. All right, Leon McFadden, the third-round draft pick of the Cleveland Browns. High hopes for him. Didn't play much when he did the last four games of the season. I'd say it was nice to see him out there, but wasn't nice to see what happened when he was out there. Gave up about 70% completion, about 10 yards a target. Those were not very good metrics. I thought at times he looked didn't look as comfortable as I would have hoped that he would have looked after getting to not play for so long. I'm going to give him a D. I would think that when he was drafted, knowing the needs of this team, the hope was, at least I thought, that he was going to come in and be a starter and be an impact player for this team. That was clearly not the case. I like that he did get some reps, and hopefully he can build on that. And we know Mike Pettine has a huge history of having very good pass defenses and has played with some of the best corners or coached some of the best corners in the game. So hopefully he can help McFadden. But right now a D, and we're definitely going to need to see more of him.
Yeah, that's for sure, Nathan. You're going to need to see more of McFadden. And I was trying to distinguish between D+ or C-, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say C-, because it's just hard for me to say D+ on the young man. At the same time, I saw the same things you saw. A guy that was not comfortable in press coverage, and when the ball was in the air, seeing him put himself in a position where he could not make a play on the ball. Was it a confidence issue or a lack of skill set? We'll find out as his career unfolds here. But what he really needs to do, though, is take an honest look at himself and say, you know what, I can't go out there playing scared and worry about making mistakes. I have to just go out there and let it fall where it will fall. And if he can do that and learn from Buster Skrine, talk to him, figure out how he made that jump. Now, Buster may not want to have that conversation with him because that might entail him losing his position. But at the same time, McFadden's definitely going to have to step his game up. So I'm going for the C-.
C-. I'm going to go with Nathan's grade of a D. There was more expected of him than what he did. I think he was not just brought in to sit and develop. He was a third-round choice at a position of need. There was a conviction within the staff of feeling that this guy could step in and be ready to play as a rookie and contribute. And I think there was extreme shock/disappointment when you got into training camp and saw the struggles, even off-season workouts, but especially training camp, when you saw the repeated struggles. And all three of us, I know, watched those practices intently, and you just, you know, you're part of the sideline chatter there. And a lot of the sideline chatter was, oh, my God, this guy is – what do they got here? And what is this guy going to be? And it just didn't come through. So the D is the grade with him.
Chris Owens was here briefly and gone, so I don't know that we even need to grade him.
He was incomplete at
incomplete,
best.
Yeah, and Julian Posey was an incomplete at the end of the year. Yeah. I think when we look at this position, to me, and when we're going to get through this when we put together our, you know, top needs, I think one more legitimate corner is going to be at the top of that. And the great news for the Browns is there are a ton of free agent options at that position this offseason that I think with the saturation of the market could come pretty cheaply that fit the 27-year-old profile of what the Browns are looking for. A guy like Walter Thurman coming off the defending Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks team, Altron Werner out in Tennessee. There are some guys who can play for this team both inside and outside, which I think is exciting. But I think there's no question you need another corner, and if Buster continues to develop and Leon develops, all of a sudden you have four pretty good DBs.
Yeah, in this day and age, you may need five, considering how spread out the offenses are. So I have no problem, especially with a guy like Thurman, if he came to Cleveland.
I would love that.
Yes. Thank you so much, Gerard, and we'll visit with you again tomorrow.
Sounds good, gentlemen. Take care.
He is Gerard Cherry, the one and only, who's part of this show. You're going to hear him with Bruce Hooley and Hooley Gerard. That follows this show immediately after we leave air. And we want to thank for being part of this show, Andre Reed, 2014 Hall of Famer. Great visit with him. Loved that interview. It was very cool. And also we heard from Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, breaking down the Browns' coaching situation. Browns are going to introduce those new coaches tomorrow at a press conference, at least the coordinators, and you will hear from Kyle Shanahan on this show along with Chris Tabor. Want to thank Megan Rock for tweeting throughout the show, putting together the Browns Daily Wrap that you will read on ClevelandBrowns.com later today. Jason Gibbs, our outstanding producer, thank you. All our listeners, and we didn't have any callers, but we know you wanted a call, but today was about interviews and analysis, so we'll get that going again for you in the next day or so.
Indeed.
For Nathan Zagura, the Nate Dog, I'm Vic Carucci, saying we will talk to you again on Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.